I want to talk about the voice of the Lord today. And if I was going to give a title to this discourse, it would be Know His Voice. And how imperative it is for you and I to know the voice of the Lord. It's not just necessary for you to, because of a pastor that the Lord's given you, and I thank the Lord for God called pastors, but you need to know the voice of the Lord for yourself. There are going to be some dark places, there are going to be some places in your life and some situations that you're going to have to go through that you can't call the pastor for. You can't call the saints for. You need to know what direction the Lord wants to take you in. And it's imperative that we know the voice of the Lord. Let us turn to John, the 10th chapter. I want to begin reading at the first verse, and if I can get some to help me out here, I'd appreciate it. John 10, verse 1, if you'll read starting at the first verse, I'd appreciate that.
Very, very, I say unto you.
All right. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, this is what I want us to get a hold of, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them. Now this tells us something about the shepherd and something about the sheep, doesn't it? That the shepherd knows who the sheep are, he knows them by name, it doesn't matter how many sheep there are, it doesn't matter that they all look the same, look like sheep, but the shepherd knows them by name. So that means he's taken some care to know something about the sheep. But it also means that the sheep have taken some care to know something about the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. They're not going to follow anybody else. They know that there is something behind that voice. They know something about the shepherd. All right, read.
A stranger will they not follow.
But will flee from him.
They will flee from him.
For they know not.
For they know not the voice of a stranger. It is imperative for you and I to know the voice of the Lord. One of the things that we're living in a time and a generation where there are a lot of voices right now. There are a lot of religious voices. There are a lot of things that are going on in the world that we can listen to this. It sounds pretty good. We can listen to this over here. That sounds like it makes a little bit of sense as well. But we need to know the voice of the shepherd. We need to know the difference of that voice from a stranger's voice. I thought of it like this. How many people, have you ever thought about how many people you know simply by their voice? That if you got on the telephone and it was somebody, you would not mistake me for my wife. All right? You wouldn't mistake me for somebody that you know very well. But there are probably, I don't know how many people that we know by voice, but there are lots of people. I would go to say every one of us here know at least 100 people by their voices. I don't know what the statistic is, but I would assume that we know many, many, most of the people that we know, most of the people, let's just say everybody here that knows each other, if I hear a prayer request, I don't have to turn around to know who's speaking, do we? Because we know the voice. And not only is that important, but this voice is not something that's just this thing that's just floating around in the air, but behind that voice is a person. And behind that person is experiences that we've had with them. We've had things that have happened. We've had conversations. We had memories. Maybe they've been to your home. Maybe you've been to their home. Maybe you've dealt with them in other various situations. And you know if that person is trustworthy. And so, consequently, the voice that you hear, when that person is not just a voice that you hear, but you envision in your mind's eye what that person looks like. And you know something about that. What kind of character they have. What's their spirit? So we have a whole lot of things that are going on just by a voice. The voice is important. And the reason that we say it's important is because there are words. All of us say certain words, but we need to know the voice of the Lord. And we know that the Word of God, and we put an emphasis on the Word of God, and the Word of God is important for us to know. But just as equally important as the Word of God is the voice of God. Because what the voice is, it's the spirit behind the word. So the more we know about the voice and that spirit behind the word, the more we can know whether or not the word is being spoken by the Spirit of God. Do you realize that if you go to the 4th chapter of Luke and the 4th chapter of Matthew, what's that? At the beginning of that, what we're talking about the temptation of Christ, right? Let's read that. Let's go to the fourth chapter of Matthew. Start at the first verse.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness.
Of the Spirit into the wilderness.
To be tempted of the devil.
To be tempted of the devil.
And when he had fasted 40 days.
When he had fasted 40 days.
And
40 nights.
He was afterwards
and hungry.
And when the tempter, came to him, he said,
If thou be the Son of God,
command that these stones be made bread.
But he answered and said,
It is written,
Man shall not live by bread alone,
but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city,
setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple,
and saith unto him,
If thou be the Son of God,
cast thyself down,
for it is written,
he shall give his angels charge concerning thee,
and in their hands
they shall bear thee up,
lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Now I want you to understand that here is one of the greatest battles that ever happened in the Bible. It doesn't really seem like a battle, but it's the battle that you and I face on a daily basis. Every one of us are tempted. The enemy presents something. He finds a weakness in us, and it's a natural weakness. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Would you expect him not to be hungry? He would be hungry. So the devil comes to him, and he makes a presentation to him that here is the temptation, that if you turn the stones into bread. And then Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He fights the enemy with the word of God. Do you realize that that is the importance that you and I need to fight the devil with the word of God? So I don't want to belittle the word of God in any way, because that's our sword. That's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it is necessary for us to know the word of God, for us to utilize the word of God, but also we receive the word of God, don't we? Well, the devil is smart enough to know that you know something about the word of God. So here Jesus says, it is written, and this is what he's fighting the devil with. What does the devil come back with? It is written. All right. He says here, it is written. Where are we?
Man shall not live by bread alone.
Okay. No, I want to drop down and talk about what the devil says here. Took him to the pinnacle of the temple. I lost my spot here. Sixth verse. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. This is what I want us to understand. The devil uses the word of God. And he's very adept at it. He knows exactly how to use it. And every time he uses it, he knows how to, it's designed, the way that he designs it is to lead us in another direction with the word of God. Do you realize why there are so many churches right here in this little town? And in every place that you go, there are myriads of churches in America simply because, and you know what they base it on? They're a Bible-believing church, right? And there's nothing wrong with saying you're a Bible-believing church if you're truly a Bible-believing church. But do you know our responsibility is to rightly divide the Word, to understand what the Word means, understand the spirit behind the Word that is being spoken. Not everybody that stands up in front of an audience on a Sunday morning behind a sacred desk is a man of God or a woman of God. And not every one of those that speak is speaking the words of God with the Spirit of God. So what you and I have to understand is it's very imperative for us to understand and know what the voice of the Lord is. It is your obligation and your responsibility to know whether or not that man or woman that is delivering the word of God to you, you are to be so close to the Lord yourself and know the voice of the Lord that when they say it, when I speak, and I tell the folks at home all the time, I say, listen, you're under no obligation to do anything that I say that the word doesn't say. Right? But if the word says, and it's your responsibility to know that I have the Spirit of God and that the anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon my life. You should be close enough to the Lord to know whether or not what is coming out of my mouth is the voice of God. That's your job. Our responsibility, of course, is to make certain that you have the resources and everything that you need to be able to understand the Word of God, but you're to be so close to the Lord that you understand not only the Word of God, but the voice of God. That's of utmost importance. The way that people are led astray is because they know the Word, but they don't know the voice. They don't know the Spirit behind the Word. So I want to encourage you today, whatever it takes, Lord, help me to know your voice. So what does it say? It says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. There's not a question in their mind whether or not that's me or a stranger. And not only that, but I know, Jesus is saying here, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, a stranger they will not follow. And so when the way that they would know that it's a stranger is that they are so, have such a good understanding of the voice of their shepherd. All right? All right, I want to bring out another point here. Let's go to Genesis 27, verse 18. Genesis 27, verse 18. Read it, please.
And he came unto his father and said.
All right. Came unto his father and said.
My father.
My father.
And he said, here am I.
This is talking about Jacob and Esau. Most of us know the story here that Isaac wanted Esau to go out and get some venison. Rebekah heard it, and so she got Jacob to go and get a goat. They dressed it up like venison, and now Jacob is coming to steal Esau's birthright. Read.
Here am I. Who art thou, my son?
He said, who art thou, my son?
And Jacob said unto his
Jacob
father,
said unto his father,
I am Esau, thy
firstborn. Now it says, Jacob said unto his father, Esau, I am Esau, thy firstborn.
I have done according as thou badest me.
Arise, I pray thee.
Sit and eat of my venison. That thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly,
my son?
And he said,
Because the Lord thy God brought it to me.
And Isaac said unto Jacob,
Come near, I pray thee,
that I may feel thee.
Now, first of all, that there is a suspicion here. There's a suspicion that Isaac had. Wait a minute, I just told you that. And you've gone out and you've killed a venison and you dressed it and you brought it. How did you do that so quickly? So there is this question in his mind that something is wrong. Something is not quite the way that it is being portrayed. And the first thing that he says is when he comes to him, he says, who are you, my son? Now, he knew the voice of Jacob and he knew the voice of Esau. So here, what we have here is something that is being portrayed. And as we know about Jacob was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. He did things undercover. That was his character. That was who he was. All right. And so now he is presenting himself to his father, and his father is suspicious that things may not be exactly the way that they are being presented. All right. Read.
That I may feel thee, my son.
He said, come to me that I may feel thee, my son.
That what?
Feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son, Esau or not. So there is the question. You know, sometimes we come into questions about things that maybe with scripture. Have you ever gotten into a debate with somebody about some scripture? And, you know, I tell folks, you know, it's not a good thing, particularly those that are young in the Lord and those that are old in the Lord. If you're not sure about a particular thing, don't get into a debate with somebody about it. Because there are things that they can bring in and it makes logical sense, but you don't know how to deal with it. So it's in your best interest to say, you know what, there are just some things I don't understand right now, and you know I'm not going to discuss that right now. I believe the things that the Lord has shown me, and I say this to folks, if I have a question, well, I don't know that I see it that way, but I'm not going to have this long discussion with you because I'm convinced and convicted that the way that I see it is the way the Lord wants me to see it. Now, I'm not saying that we're not to be open in some things to have discussions with the Bible. When somebody wants to argue with you about the Word of God, it's not a good thing. All right. Read.
And Jacob went near unto Isaac his
father. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father.
Now,
the point that I wanted to make there was that there is some suspicion. There is some. It sounds like it may be right. It sounds like it could be the way that you're talking about it. But there's something that there's a little bit of suspicion in my mind about it. And that what that is a call to prayer. That I go to pray and I ask the Lord, Lord, what do I do about this thing? And I don't move and I don't touch it until the Lord gives me clarity and understanding. Every one of us should be that close to the Lord. All right.
And he felt him and said.
He felt him and said.
The voice is Jacob's voice.
The voice is Jacob's voice.
But the hands are the hands of Esau.
Are the hands of Esau.
And he discerned him,
he discerned him not.
Because his hands
were hairy.
As his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau?
Still suspicious. Still not quite sure. He knows that that voice is not the voice that is being presented as. It is not Esau's voice. The words are the words that are supposed to be said. The actions are the actions that are supposed to be done. Everything looks like it's in order, but there is something that is suspicious about the voice. And that is the one thing that we understand at the beginning here. At the first verse here, it says that Isaac was blind at this time. For those that may not know the story, you can read it at your own leisure. But he was blind at this time, so he could not see his son. Or he would have known that this is Esau dressed, Jacob that's dressed up like Esau. But yet there's still this nagging suspicion in his mind that something is not completely right because the voice doesn't sound right. This is why it's important for you and I to understand and know and be acquainted with the voice of God. All right? Read.
Art thou my very son Esau?
Art thou my very son Esau?
And he said,
and he said, I am.
And he said, bring it near to me.
He said, bring it near to me.
And I will eat of my son's venison.
That my soul may bless thee.
And he brought it near to him. And he did eat. And he brought him wine.
And he
drank.
And
his father Isaac said to him.
Come unto him.
Come near now.
And kiss me, my son.
And he came near,
And kissed him.
And he smelled the smell of his raiment.
And blessed him.
And said, see the smell of my son.
Still suspicious here. Still not quite certain that this is who you're saying it is. Even though I can't see it. But I'm gonna use all five senses. The venison tastes like the venison that my son does. Well, Rebecca taught him how to do it. Rebecca would know better than anybody else how to make it taste like Isaac likes. All right, so he went with the natural senses here, and the natural sense said the venison tastes like it's supposed to taste. All right, and then he says, "Come here, let me touch you, son. Let me feel." And he felt his hands, and he realized that he's a hairy man like my son. So that's the next sense, right? He says, "Come, let me kiss me." Not telling him necessarily what he's doing, but come and kiss me. And he smelled. And he's trying to discern what is wrong with this picture. I can't see it, but there is something wrong. Do you realize that there are some things that are wrong? And we don't understand clearly what it is, and everything seems to be in order, but something just doesn't sound right. Do you realize that one of the things that the church has to have in our generation is a spirit of discernment? I need to discern what is going on in the world today, in the religious world. We need to be able to discern it because those things come and folks can look. They are doctors of divinity and they're doctors this and that. And they know what argument you're going to use. And none of us have been to divinity school, have we? And they can take the scriptures and they can twist it. But what they cannot do is they cannot make it taste right or sound right or smell right. There's still this suspicion in our mind that this may not be what it's represented to be. And when we know the voice of the Lord, we may not be learned. We may not have the level of understanding that other folks have, but we know the voice of the Lord. And you don't have to have a degree to know the voice of the Lord. All you have to have is a relationship with Him. And have an experience and a background. There, every voice that you know, you have some background with that voice, don't you? There is a background story. There is something that has happened, something that has taken place with that voice, and I know who that person is, and I know whether or not I can trust them. So the sheep that hear the voice of the shepherd, those sheep have some background experience with the shepherd. They know whether or not they can. It's not just this disembodied voice that is floating around, but there is something that in order for a voice to be, that have a voice, there's got to be a body as well, doesn't it? Somewhere. So the Lord speaks to us through His body. We must know who is in the body of Christ and who isn't. And it's not just for, sometimes it may be people that we know about, people that have worshiped with us, and sometimes it may be people that we don't even know about, but we know the voice that's coming from that person, that's the Spirit of God. And when we see it, we know it. When we hear it, we know it. Everything may not be exactly the way that we thought it should, we think it should be, but we know the voice of the Lord, and that's the voice of our shepherd. If you're going down into John, what does it say? Let's go back to that. John, the 10th chapter. Let's go down a little further. Maybe the 20th. Says, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Okay, read that for us.
Another sheep I have.
Yes.
They're not of this fold.
Them also I must bring.
And they shall hear my voice.
What is it? They shall hear my voice.
And there shall be one fold.
There shall be one fold.
And one shepherd.
And one shepherd. There are other folks that have heard the voice of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. And you and I need to understand what the voice of the Lord. I want to know your voice. I want to be where I need to be. I want to spend some time with you. I want you to know who I am. And I want to know who you are. Lord, help us. And you know what? When we do that, the Lord will be there with us. All right? So we need in our generation more. I don't know. Of course, I'm in this generation. I wasn't in the previous ones. But I'd like to think that we need it more now today than we've ever, than any other previous generation. But there are so many, we have such a, we're saturated with information. You can Google, you don't even have to go have a computer. All you have to do is have a little iPhone. And you can get any information, anything that you want to know that you don't understand, you can Google it and you can find out what that means. And it may not be what it really means. You know what Wikipedia is? Right, most of us know that, right? Well, you know, anybody can write on that, but you take that as gospel, don't you? And somebody can come in there and they can change it and it sounds so absolutely right. And it's not right at all. And just because it comes off of a computer or out of a book or some person with a few alphabets behind their name, because they say it, we want to take it as gospel. And then we want to diminish when we hear some little humble saint of God that is preaching the word and teaching the word and showing us how to live a simple life. You know what? That's one of the blessings and benefits of salvation. It's just a simple life. You don't have to know a whole lot of things. You just have, you know, in essence, what we have to do is just live right. You know, in essence, what we have to do is just stop sinning. You don't have to go in all, well, what is sin? I don't need to know. All I need to know is he that knoweth to do good and do it not to him it is sin. Well, we don't have to go into the whys and wherefores and do all the things that folks want to do to say that folks can't live from sin when the Bible tells us that we can. In my mind, what does it mean when it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin? That means that I'm going to have to sin more or less every day because there's something about it, because you don't understand. Just making a mistake is a sin. Coming short is a sin. You know what? We need to know the voice of the Lord. Because, yes, of course, that's true, but it's the voice of the Lord said. There is an element of truth to it. Everything that we spoke about here, there was an element of truth to everything that the devil said. And the best lie is that which is infused with as much truth as you possibly, as much true statements. There's a difference. I want to say that. With as many true statements as possible. It is written. But what voice said it? What's the voice of it? Lord, help us. All right. All right. So, we go back to. Let's read a little bit more in John. Pray for us that we'll be able to express it like the Lord would have us to. Start at, where did we stop initially? Sixth verse. Is that what I want? No, let's drop down to 25th verse.
26?
25.
25?
Yes.
Jesus answered them,
yes,
I told you, and you believed me not.
You believed me not. They said, well, why don't, if you're just Christ, why don't you just tell us? Tell us plainly. He said, I've already told you that, and you didn't believe me. The works that I do
in my Father's name,
they bear witness of me.
But you believe not.
But you don't believe that.
Because you're not,
of my sheep.
As I said unto you.
You know, what if we talk so plainly? You know how folks get offended nowadays? You can't hardly say nothing to people. They get so easily offended. I'm not just talking about folks out there. But folks supposed to have the grace of God get so easily offended. Now, I know all of us get offended. I don't believe that there's a person that hasn't gotten offended, but we can't speak so plainly. We need the grace of God. We need to be able to get over the offenses that happen. The offenses are going to come. People are going to say things and not say things that they shouldn't. And they're going to say not say things that they should have said. And it's going to affect us in some kind of a way. But you know what? We need the grace of God, don't we? We need to be getting, but Jesus talked so plainly, and I look at how Paul did, and sometimes I wonder, what if we spoke so plainly to folks about these kinds of things? Sometimes we need to, don't we? Sometimes the problem is we don't speak plainly enough. Lord, help us. Because sometimes what we need the voice of the Lord is saying, and we're saying, Lord, I'm afraid that we're going to hurt their feelings. Well, they need their feelings hurt. Were you ever afraid of spanking your child because they might get their feelings hurt?
No.
I never was either. You always do that. Why? Because it's for their own good. So you give them a good whipping and it straightens them out, doesn't it? Well, sometimes the Lord puts us as those that lay down judgment to folks. Paul did it all the time. He called them whited sepulchres. He did all kinds of things. And not to say that we call folks names and whatnot, but there are some times that we need to just lay it down because the Lord is telling us to do that. We don't do it in our own spirit, in our own strength, and by our own spirit, but we do it by the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, give us the boldness that we need to just lay it down like it needs to be laid down. And the Lord will tell us how to do that by His Spirit. He'll tell us, now, I don't want you to say anything right now because the time is not yet. There are some things that Jesus said to His disciples. He said, I've got a lot of things that I want to tell you, but you're not able to bear them right now.
Right.
And there are times that the Lord will tell us, don't say that. I've been in counsel with people, and I thought to myself, here they are. They're speaking about a certain thing that is happening, and really what you want to do is get down to the really core of it. You got to get down here, and they're not ready to hear that yet. So you just stay on the surface. And you're able to deal with these things. And once we deal with that, then the Lord gives us the Lord tells us, listen, you can't say that because they can't bear it. They can't hear it. And so it is our responsibility as men and women of God to know what the voice of the Lord is. And when the Lord says, well, you need to hear this. And when we say they need to hear this and the voice of the Lord says, no, you've got to hold back. I want you to restrain yourself.
Yeah.
They can't bear it now. You'll put too much on them. We need to hear that. We need to hear that voice and know when to back up, and the Lord will open up the opportunity. And sometimes all it is that we're just preparing them for somebody else to speak with them and for the Lord to get a hold of them. What I've learned is you cannot tell anybody anything that they're not prepared to hear and it do some good. So you can talk all you want, and then there are times that the Holy Ghost will tell us, listen, I want you to lay it down. I don't want you to hold any punches. I want you to lay it down. We need to know that the voice of the Lord is speaking that to us. And as the voice of the Lord speaks it to us, we need to be able to do that. With boldness. We need to know His voice. Particularly in this environment, in this atmosphere, we need to know the voice of the Lord. And you know, no matter how many times you hear it, how many times you hear a message like this, it is of utmost importance for you. It means your soul. It's whether or not you're going to make it to heaven, whether or not you're going to follow the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the Lord, or whether or not you're going to follow the voice of a stranger. One of the things that are in our society now is we are being conditioned to be very open. And really what is happening is the world is forcing us to be open and to be politically correct and to be what you might say not offensive to anybody. And, you know, we are accepting that. We don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. And in the political realm, you see it all the time. Some of the things that are going on in the political realm today, some of the things that are happening, They are forcing things down our throat and daring us to say anything about it. I dare you to stand against some of the things that are going on. This is what they're saying to us. And then what happens is they make us the bad guys. When we stand against same-sex marriage, they make us the bad guy. Well, if somebody loves each other, it'll always be, yes, if somebody loves each other, but it has to be one man and one woman, and we've always got to preach that. We've always got to live that. Nature tells us that. The Lord tells us that. The voice of the Lord tells, but the world is telling us, back up off of these things, Christian folks. Back up off of these things. You can, and let me tell you what else it's telling us. It's telling us to back up and saying, you know what? All religions are equal. Everybody is the same. You can't just say that Christianity is the only religion. There are more Muslims in the world than there are. I don't care how many Muslims it is. There's only one way to heaven.
Amen.
And where did I hear that from? I heard it from the voice of the Lord. So I don't know what the Muslims are going to have to do, but they're going to have to do. They're going to have. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father, but how? By me." I don't know what name they call him, but it's got to be Jesus. So we can't allow these things. So when this, we can't allow them to pry our minds open and stuff things down our mind that we don't want to hear.
Amen.
We can open ourselves up to strange voices and expect to have the level of victory that God wants us to have in our life. It can't happen. It can't happen. So we're open to the voice of God. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be what God wants us to be. We want to go where God wants us to go. But let me tell you, the only way that we know is that we hear His voice.
Yes.
And that we know His voice. I know you've heard this before. This is not the first time you've heard it. But I believe the Lord wants us to reiterate it to us today, that it's of utmost importance, saints of God. It's of utmost importance to know His voice. To know whether or not the folks that are preaching to you are good public speakers or whether or not they have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You need to know that. You need to know that whoever it is, let me tell you, there are a lot of gifted speakers out there. And they can put a few words and take one scripture and it seems like they can elaborate on it and write a book about it and all these things. And we pick those books up and we read it and it's not even the voice of the Lord, it's of Jacob's voice. They've got everything almost down in a row, but there's just something that's a little suspicious about it. Something that doesn't taste right. It doesn't smell right. It doesn't sound completely right. Lord, help us to know Your voice.
Amen.
We must know it. It's our survival. All right. 1 Kings 19, verse 10.
You got one more scripture, Brother Darrell.
All right, read it, please.
My sheep hear my voice.
My sheep hear my voice.
And I know them.
I know them.
And they follow me.
They follow me.
And I give unto them eternal life.
I give unto them eternal life.
They shall never perish.
They shall never perish.
Neither shall any man pluck them
Neither
out
shall any man
of my
pluck
hand.
Them out of my hands. Thank the Lord. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's go to familiar text of Scripture. 1 Kings 19, verse 10. Read it if you have it.
And he said, I have been very jealous.
I'm very jealous.
For the Lord God of hosts.
Lord God of hosts.
For the children of Israel.
The children of Israel.
Have forsaken thy covenant. Thrown down thine altars. Slain thy prophets. With the sword.
With the sword. Who were the prophets? The prophets were the people that spoke the word of God. That's how they heard it. That was the voice of God. So what they literally were doing was, this is Elijah talking. He said, Lord, I'm very jealous here. And he said, they've killed all your prophets. All right?
And I.
Yes, I.
Even I only.
Am left.
And they seek my life.
They seek my life to
take it away.
Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever had a little pity party? I have. I've had plenty of them. You can't have them for very long, but you can have them. I've had them. And they're not really beneficial. But we're human. Now, maybe y'all can pull me over to the side after this and deal with me and say preachers aren't supposed to have pity parties, but I've had them. I have fewer now than I used to have. Lord helps me through it, and we realize that you got to grow up. You got to grow up and grow out of it. But we've had them, haven't we? Lord, nobody seems to be doing what they're supposed to do. Everybody seems to be going this way and that way, and I try to do what's right and what's good, and nobody seems to appreciate it. Have you ever talked to the Lord about that kind of thing? I have. And this is what he was doing here, and he says here, read. He said, Go forth.
And stand upon the mountain before the Lord.
And behold,
The Lord passed by,
and a great strong wind
rent the mountains,
and break in pieces the rocks
before the Lord.
But the Lord was not in the wind. Do you know that there are a lot of folks that are looking for something big? They're looking for something great. Well, this has got to be the Lord. The wind is just rolling and whatnot. It's got to be. Who else could do it? Who else can have that kind of a power? All right, read.
And after the wind, an earthquake.
And after that, the wind, the earthquake.
But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake.
And they say, well, surely everything is being shaken here. And surely this is the Lord. Do you know we can be misled by because we're looking in the natural sense, just like Isaac was. Isaac was looking at all the natural things with his hands, I'm saying looking at it with his mind, however you want to say it, we can look at natural things and think that God is in something great and big when God's not in that. It says God wasn't in the wind that rent the mountain. God was not in the earthquake that shook the mountain. God wasn't in that. All right?
And after the earthquake, a fire.
Surely this is God.
But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire,
a still small voice. In all amidst all the chaos, all the things that were being shook up and all the things that were out of place and all the things that were happening, what you and I need to do is find some place where we can hear the voice of the Lord. That still small voice. It's not something great big. It's just simply that the Lord is telling us, I want you to obey me. I don't want you to go over across the sea. I don't want you to do that. I want you to go across the street. I want you to go and apologize to the person that you wronged. I want you to do that. I want you to make restitution. Amen. The still small thing. I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to go to church every Sunday. You know, one of the things I'm learning in our generation, folks don't go to church no more. They don't. They got all kind of excuses not to do it. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. It's true. For various reasons, Lord said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You have a place right here among the people of God. And you know, I guess I feel it more because I'm a pastor. And when folks aren't there, I feel it. I see it. I understand. And it affects the service. So we want, when there's something big, a big camp meeting, everybody's here. But what about Wednesday night prayer meeting? Oh, Lord, help us. When ain't nobody, when there's not very many people, that's the time you need to be there. Lord, help us. All right. I'll get off of that one. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it,
that he wrapped his face in
his mantle.
And went out. And stood in the entry of the cave. And behold,
there came a voice unto him
and said, what doest thou here, Elijah?
What are you doing here, Elijah? But he knew when it was the voice of the Lord, didn't he? He knew which one was the voice of the Lord. Saints, let me say this. Know the voice of the Lord. Know it. You know, there are a lot of things that are happening among the people of God today. There are a lot of things that can bring about confusion among the people of God. But if you know the voice of the Lord, if you know which voice is God's voice that's speaking to you, then you're not going to be confused. And if you don't know, don't move until you do know. The earthquake, the wind, the fire, Elijah stayed right where he was, didn't he? And then when he heard what he knew was God's voice, that's when he stood up and walked forward because the Lord was leading him at that time. Saints, that's what we've got to do as well. Because there are a lot of voices of Jacob that are out there that sounds like it looks like it's right. Everything looks like it ought to be. It smells almost like it needs to be. It tastes almost like it needs to be. But it is not the voice of God. It is the voice of Jacob. And may the Lord help us to know the difference. And again, what do I say? It is your responsibility. Don't blame it on the preachers. You know what? Of course, we as ministers, we get blamed a lot for a lot of things. But we're just one part, one member of the body. And we're just one member that hears the voice of the Lord. Let me tell you when you can hear the voice of the Lord on a Wednesday night when there's prayer, when there's testimonies. On somebody that's praying and asking the Lord to have mercy, and you know the Lord is with them, and they're just a little lonely saint. They don't even teach Sunday school, but they're faithful. We've got some of those in our congregation. I'm sure you do too. That they're faithful. Very quiet. You don't hear much about them. But when you do hear something, there's something that tingles. There's something that witnesses in your heart that's the Lord. It did some good to me. And we often hear folks testifying, you know, I went through something, and you know what got me through it is when Sister So-and-so stood up and she testified last Wednesday night that the same thing that I'm going through right now. And I knew that if she could go through it with victory, then I could go through it as well. And that's the voice of the Lord. We don't have to bolt and go in another direction because it seems like everybody else is. The reason we don't go in another direction is because we know where the Lord is. Lord, help us. He should be with you. All right. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. So do you hear the voice of the Lord? He's my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, I want you to understand something here. We read the scripture in John. It says that another they won't follow. So it's not just, again, this disembodied voice, but this is their shepherd.
Yes.
This is the Lord. This is the man that they know something about. This is the one that has taking them through some very tough places. The Lord's taken you through some tough places too. You have that experience. When you're going through some, all of us have situations that God has taken us through. And we know it was the Lord. The testimony about God taking them through this tornado, that was miraculous, wasn't it? And no doubt the Lord talks to us and tells us, I want you to stay right here and I want you to move. And when we do what the Lord tells us, no matter what the wind comes and it can destroy everything around us, but we're safe because we follow the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me,
and I'm willing to follow. You know what? Nobody. He didn't say that he roped you and pulled you and drug you along.
Nope.
He said, he's leading me. I'm following him. Why do I follow him? Because I trust him. I know him. I know his voice. I know that if I go through some difficult places, he's going to be there with. He's going to go before I go. All right, read.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea.
Though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death.
I will fear no evil.
Why?
For thou art with me.
You're with me.
Thy rod, thy staff comfort me.
They comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me
in the presence of mine enemy.
Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me
all the days of my life.
And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it says, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, it doesn't really matter where you go. As a dark place. And have you ever been in a dark place? And let's just say it, the lights went out and you were in a place that had potential danger. And it was just pitch darkness. And a stranger began to tell you to come in the direction. And we understand which direction that voice is coming from, don't we? Would you start walking in that direction or would you stand still? But if it was somebody that you knew, somebody that you had an experience with, and somebody that you had background information on, and you trusted that person was going to lead, was not going to lead you astray, you began to follow them one easy step, one tentative step at a time. You began to follow them, and you followed where the voice led you. Do you know, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why will I not fear evil? Because I know your voice. And Lord, you're saying, come on, I'm with you. My grace is sufficient right here in this area. I'll take you through it. And you just come right. Well, Lord, I can't see. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm with you. I will fear no evil. Why? Because I know the voice of the Lord. And I know that this is what the Lord is telling me to do. And as He tells me to do it, I can follow Him because I've got background information on Him. I've got experience back there that I've gone through some other difficult places. And the Lord was with me. He didn't fail me. So maybe my steps are tentative. But I'm going to go in the direction of that voice because I know what it is.
Yes.
I know that it's not the voice of Jacob. I can't feel it. What did Job say? He says, I looked for him on the right hand, on the left. I went back and I went forward and I didn't know. I couldn't tell where he was. But he said, he knoweth the way that I take.
Amen.
And when he has tried me, what's going to happen? I shall come forth. Not I might come forth. I shall come forth as pure gold. I trust where he's leading me. I trust him. I trust this shadow of death that I may be going through right now. But God, give me the grace that I need to be able to go through it. I think I can do it by your grace. But I know you're there, Lord. I know that there is an identity behind that voice. I know it's just not a voice. There's a person. The Word. There is a spirit behind the Word. And the voice is the spirit of the Word. And so this is why it's important. I want to reiterate to us, it is important for us to know the Word of God, but that's not the only thing that's important. It is important for us to know the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is what interprets the Word and makes us understand it. It is what gives the Word life. What does the Scripture say? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we take the Word. There are some things that the Word requires of us that we don't have the grace to be able to do it. There are some times, and I say this to folks, listen, I want you to live where you are. There are a lot of folks that are trying to live an experience that's far beyond them. Live where you are. Be in the simplicity of knowing, just obeying what God wants you to do and asking for the grace to be obedient. You know, the only thing that we really require of our children, there's one thing that we require of our children. To obey. Do you know the one thing that the Lord required of Adam and Eve was one thing. That's all. Just obey. You know the voice of the Lord. You know Mama told you to do this. Then obey it. Do it. And if we do that, that's all that a child has to do. When a child comes to get saved, what do we say to him? You know, in essence, all you really have to do is obey your mama and your daddy. Do what they say. And then you build from that. And you know, if you're disobedient to your parents, you're going to be disobedient to God. You are. A person that rebels against their parent rebels against the authority that God has laid down. Or a person that rebels against authority rebels against God. Because God puts that authority there. So I want us to be encouraged here today that there is an identity behind the voice. So if I call the most people on the telephone that know me, I call them up on the telephone, it would just take a very short period of time before they knew who it was. Maybe I sound like my brother. People have said that my brother sounds like me. Maybe for a moment they would think that, but after they talked to me for a few minutes, they would know who that voice is. And then there would be a identity, a picture that goes in your mind along with that voice. And there would be some, whatever your experiences would be, regarding me or regarding whatever the person is, whatever your experience would be there. And then if you were requesting a particular thing, or I was requesting a particular thing, then all what goes into the process of whether or not you do that particular thing is the background information, is the experience. There are sometimes that people request things of you and you are not certain that you're going to do that. Or there are things that you may want to request, but you don't know them. I don't know them well enough. And so I'm not going to ask them these things because I don't really know if they would do this, but I want to say this. The Lord knows you. And you should know Him well enough that you can ask Him anything. And as you're seeking the Lord, Lord, help me to know in a greater way when You speak to me. Now, I feel like the Lord wanted me to reiterate this thought to you today. To know Him. And I think the reason is because in one sense it's an encouragement and an inspiration for you, but in another sense it's also a warning. And the warning of it is that if you don't know it, you can be duped. You can bless something and put your blessing on something that is not of God. And you've tested it. You've tried it. You've proven it. And you're going in a direction. And what happened? He couldn't retract what he did. You know, there are some times that you can go in a direction and the damage is done. I've already blessed it. I've laid my blessing on it. And I can't take it back. What happened with Jacob? As soon as Jacob walked out, what happened? Esau walked in. And it surprised Isaac. And he said, well, who is this? What? And he began to shake and tremble. Because he realized that I just put my blessing on something that I was a little bit suspicious about all along. All while I was blessing it, I was a little bit suspicious. And now I can't take it back. And it's too late. And what would he have felt like what just happened? Saints of God, do you realize that if you don't know what the voice of the Lord sounds like, and you can lay your blessing on something that God never intended for you to bless, and it can affect your entire family. Do you know that affected his family? Do you know that this man held for Jacob had to leave because his brother was going to kill him? His brother was going to kill him. And he held on to that grudge for years. Let's see, how many years was it? He had to work for Laban 7 years, 2 times. So at least 14 years, or maybe more than that. But he held on that grudge, and he came to a place where the Lord told Jacob, get up and I want you to go back to where your brother is. I want you to go back to that place. And when he went, he tried to send Esau all of these gifts. Remember that? And trying to make, listen, I know what I did, but all this had been lingering for years. For years. And he tried to send him the gifts, and he wouldn't take them. He said, I'm going to kill you. Do you know sometimes some of the things that you do can affect your family? It can affect your family for generations, for years. But you know what? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a silver lining to every cloud, isn't it? And what did Jacob do? Jacob found a place to wrestle with God. He wrestled with God. And what did the Lord do? The Lord changed Jacob's heart, didn't he? He changed his heart. And let me tell you what happened. It brought the family back together, didn't it? And it wasn't that he had to go and sit down and talk to Esau so much. He went and talked to the Lord. And when he talked to the Lord talked to him. And the Lord went and talked to Esau. You want to bring about some things in your family? You do some talking to the Lord. And the Lord will bless you. If you know the voice of the Lord. He knew the voice of the Lord. He learned the voice of the Lord. And may the Lord help us to do the same. Pray for me.